In the world of Victoria Avard's King's Cage, power is a double-edged sword that cuts both the wielder and the victim. This third installment in the Red Queen series has captivated millions of readers worldwide, including celebrities like Emma Roberts and Reese Witherspoon, who have both praised the series for its complex female characters and intricate political machinations. The book's exploration of imprisonment, both literal and metaphorical, resonates deeply in our current cultural climate, where questions of freedom and oppression dominate social discourse. What makes this novel particularly compelling is how it forces us to confront an uncomfortable truth. Sometimes the most dangerous prisons are the ones we build for ourselves. What would you sacrifice for power? What would you endure for those you love? These questions haunt the pages of this riveting tale, where blood divides and defines a nation on the brink of revolution. Mare Barrow's world has shrunk to the dimensions of a luxurious prison cell. 31 days have passed since her capture, each marked with a fork on the baseboard of her neutral-colored room. The Lightning Girl, once a symbol of revolution, now wears a thorned collar around her neck and silent stone manacles that suppress her electrical abilities. Her Arvin guards, whom she's nicknamed Kitten, Egg, Trio, and Clover, never speak to her, maintaining constant vigilance to ensure her powers remain dormant. Maven Kalor, the boy king with a twisted mind, has designed her imprisonment as a special kind of torture. Not physical pain, but isolation, forcing her to rot, fade, and be forgotten. Despite hearty meals, Mare wastes away, growing thinner and bruised, possibly feverish. The silent stone causes her head to pound and her throat to constrict. Her only privacy is a small bathroom where the concentration of silent stone is even higher. When Evangeline Samos unexpectedly appears one day, claiming Maven has summoned Mare to court, the monotony breaks. Led through Whitefire Palace by her thorned collar, Mare enters a raucous celebration she wasn't meant to see. The throne room assaults her senses after a month of isolation. Silk, gemstones, armor glittering beneath chandeliers, colored liquor flowing freely. Maven sits on a stark gray stone throne that makes him look like the boy he truly is, furious at Evangeline's unauthorized action. The court scene quickly deteriorates when Maven grants his cousin Samson Arandis permission to interrogate Mare. Samson, a whisper like Maven's mother Ilara, brutally invades Mare's mind, forcing her to relive her worst memories repeatedly. Ilara's death by her lightning, and most painfully, her brother Shade's death at Ptolemus Samos's hands. He extracts everything: intelligence about the Scarlet Guard, her nights with Cal, her cowardice, her nightmares, and every painful memory of her life as a Red Girl. Through this mental torture, Maven's written words haunt her: "I miss you, until we meet again." Maven reveals his sinister plan to twist Mare's captivity into propaganda, claiming the Scarlet Guard mistreated her and wants a red world with room for nothing else. His most horrifying lie, that Mare now supports the Silver Side because new bloods are feared as we are, blessed as we are, silver as we are, in everything but the color of blood. This manipulation serves his larger goal, to lure new bloods to him where they'll join his army under threat of death. When Mare calls him a monster, Maven warns her never to underestimate what he'll do for his kingdom. Their complex relationship reveals Maven's vulnerability when Mare mentions dreaming of him during her torture. He admits he was there every second, flushing with emotion. Despite his cruelty, Maven remains obsessed with Mare, keeping her as both prisoner and prize. In a blood-red gown designed to hide both Maven's brand on her collarbone and the silent stone manacles, Mare is forced to recite Maven's propaganda before cameras broadcasting to the entire nation. Through tears, she delivers his message: that she willingly joined the Scarlet Guard as a spy, that Cal betrayed his father, and that the Scarlet Guard hunts and kills Newbloods. Maven then announces he's offering refuge to Newbloods fleeing the Scarlet Guard, painting himself as their protector while forcing them to choose between the Guard or the King, both seeing them as weapons. During a private conversation, Maven offers Mar two unexpected gifts, a scrap of silk embroidered by her sister Disa that was taken from her when she was captured, and the chance to ask one truthful question. She asks how much of his evil was influenced by his mother Alara. Maven reveals that Alara invaded his mind when he was just a baby, forcing him to walk before he was ready and manipulating his fears. He admits some of his actions are his own, but not all, and now sits on thrones made of silent stone to keep Miranda's whispers out of his head. When Mar mocks his obsession with Cal, Maven shows genuine confusion about which thoughts are truly his own, a rare glimpse of vulnerability in the young tyrant. While Mar endures captivity, the Scarlet Guard continues its fight against Silver oppression. In the frozen tunnels of Irabel, a Scarlet Guard stronghold near the Lakelander City of Trial, Cameron Coles struggles with her deadly silencing ability and her place in the Resistance. The Colonel receives news that Mar is being interrogated by Samson Mirandis and decides it's time to push forward with their plans. Cal, the exiled prince and Mar's former lover, becomes central to the Guard's strategy despite Cameron's concerns about his conflicting allegiances. When a lightning alert sounds through the Irabel base, everyone watches Maven's broadcast featuring Mar in her forced propaganda role. The room erupts in outrage, but Kilborn defends Mar while Cal stands with him, both understanding she's being coerced. After the broadcast, Farley proposes not just a counter-broadcast, but an assault on Corvium, calling it the Scarlet Guard's official declaration of war. Despite Cal's objections that Corvium is an impenetrable fortress, Farley reveals they already have intelligence from Shade Barrow. The plan moves forward, with Cal eventually leading the siege himself, taking the fortress city block by block. Some Silver officers surrender and become hostages, others are ransomed to their families, and some choose death. The Scarlet Guard's alliance with Monfort, a democratic nation where Reds and Silvers live as equals, strengthens their position. Premier Dane Davidson of Monfort reveals that the Scarlet Guard began in the Lakelands before filtering into Norda, while Monfort agents were working in Piedmont. The two groups discovered each other and found they shared the goal of overthrowing Silver rulers to expand democratic rule. Together, they plan to exploit the fractures in Silver society using a strategy of divide and conquer to let rival kingdoms destroy each other in their greed for power. After months of captivity, Mar's opportunity for escape finally arrives during Maven's wedding to Princess Iris Signet of the Lakelands, a political alliance ending the century-long war between their kingdoms. As Mar holds Iris's train alongside Evangeline during the ceremony, the Scarlet Guard launches an attack. The sky turns black with storm clouds and lightning streaks across it as a blue-haired woman with a red scarf attacks. In the chaos, Evangeline makes a surprising offer, Mar's freedom in exchange for sparing her brother Palamas. Though Mar has dreamed of killing him for murdering Shade, she agrees. He'll live, I swear it. After removing Mar's manacles, Evangeline has Ren, the skin healer, restore her strength. The electricity rushes back, thundering through Mar, every nerve shrieking to life as light bulbs shatter, cameras explode, and naked electricity jumps between her fingers. Mar runs through the palace, her lightning destroying everything in her path. Outside, she sends a purple-white bolt across the sky, a sign the Lightning Girl is free. In the treasury, she encounters Cal, who has been mind-controlled by Samson Mirandis. They fight until Cal manages to break free momentarily, and together they kill Samson, Cal burning his throat while Mar fries his brain with electricity. As they reach the gate, someone grabs Mar's arm, and the world squeezes to nothing as a teleporter transports her to safety. When Mar lands, Cal pulls her into a crushing embrace. They cling to each other, trembling, both afraid this moment isn't real. He looks different, paler, with close-cut hair and stubble, leaner and harder. Only his bronze, red-gold eyes remain the same. They kiss fiercely, neither closing their eyes, still disbelieving. The reunion with her family is even more emotional. Mom reaches her first, followed by Bree and Trammy, who carry them both into the house. Mom kisses her face repeatedly, while Jisa, now taller with freckles dotting her golden skin, worms in close. Most shocking is seeing her father walking with a cane, leaning on Kilorn's arm. Sarah has healed him, giving him a new leg and healthy lungs after years in a wheelchair. They embrace as they haven't since Mar was a little girl, her family sheltering her between them. For a moment, she forgets everything. Maven, the manacles, the brand, the scars, the war. But one absence remains. Shade. Her brother is buried on an abandoned island, and Mar refuses to let another Barrow share his fate. Throughout her captivity, Mare gains unique insight into Maven's damaged psyche. Their relationship is complex, a twisted blend of obsession, manipulation, and genuine connection. Maven keeps Mare as both prisoner and confidant, increasingly summoning her for private breakfasts as his paranoia grows. Without Silent Stone in his private dining room, these moments become Mare's sanctuary too. Maven appears exhausted, haunted by the assassination attempt and the ghosts of his family. When Mare pushes him about his feelings, he reveals the full extent of Alara's mental manipulation. His mother altered his mind, removing his ability to dream and his love for his father and brother, though she couldn't erase certain kinds of feelings. Maven confesses that his first love was Thomas, a red boy who died in a fire Maven accidentally caused. Despite his twisted nature, Maven refuses to let Mare go or let her die. During a confrontation in Maven's bath, he removes his flamemaker bracelets, exposing his neck as if daring Mare to kill him. She could drown him, strangle him, but the moment passes. Maven breaks the spell by announcing she'll be one of Iris's ladies at the wedding, and Mare realizes he's as trapped as she is. I'm in a king's cage, bound by Silent Stone, but Maven is equally trapped by his crown. When Cal learns the truth about Maven's damaged mind, he confesses his hope that a new blood whisper might someday heal his brother. Despite everything Maven has done, Cal still sees the possibility of redemption, a hope Mare can't fully share after experiencing the depths of Maven's obsession firsthand. The brand on her collarbone bearing Maven's M serves as a permanent reminder of his twisted version of love. The political landscape undergoes seismic shifts as multiple powers vie for control. Maven's strategic alliance with the Lakelands, cemented through his marriage to Princess Iris, creates a formidable military force that threatens to overwhelm the resistance. The Lakelanders bring not only their considerable army, but also their unique water manipulation abilities, making them especially dangerous in naval and riverine warfare. Princess Iris herself proves to be more than a mere political pawn. She's a skilled strategist who strengthens Maven's position considerably. In a stunning move that reshapes the continent's power dynamics, House Samos, led by the ruthless and calculating Volo Samos, breaks away from Norta to establish the independent Kingdom of the Rift. This metallurgical stronghold, built upon centuries of Samos' influence and their mastery over metal, becomes a formidable third power in the growing conflict. "To the Kingdom of the Rift," Volo declares in a ceremony steeped in ancient tradition, as his family and supporters kneel before him, proclaiming "Kings of Steel." The moment marks not just a political separation, but the birth of a new silver-blooded dynasty. Queen Annabel Larrilyn emerges from years of political exile to champion her grandson Cal's claim to the Norton throne. A master of court intrigue and political maneuvering, she orchestrates a complex alliance between the newly formed Kingdom of the Rift and Cal's loyalists. The cornerstone of this alliance is a proposed marriage between Cal and Evangeline Samos, a union that would combine military might with royal legitimacy. This arrangement, negotiated without Cal's knowledge or consent, drives the first wedge between him and Mar, highlighting the persistent conflict between personal desire and political necessity. The battle for Corvium becomes the crucible in which these shifting alliances are tested. Maven's forces, bolstered by Lakeland troops whose water-wielding abilities prove devastating in combat, launch a massive assault on the Scarlet Guard-held fortress. The defending alliance, combining the guerrilla tactics of the Scarlet Guard, Montfort's democratic ideals and military discipline, and the Kingdom of the Rift's technological superiority, demonstrates the potential strength of their cooperation. Mayor and Cal's combined leadership proves crucial in the defense, with their complementary abilities turning the tide of battle. Yet victory brings its own complications. During what should be a moment of triumph, the true nature of the alliance is revealed, a carefully orchestrated plan to restore the old order under new management. Volo Samos will maintain his independent kingdom while supporting Cal's restoration to the Norton throne, with Evangeline as his queen. This revelation forces Cal to confront an impossible choice between his birthright, something he's been groomed for since birth, and his love for Mar, who represents a fundamental challenge to the silver-dominated system he would inherit. The decision he faces isn't just personal. It will determine the future of their world and whether true change is possible in a society built on inherited power and privilege. Throughout the story, characters confront the devastating personal toll of their revolutionary actions, each bearing unique wounds that shape their choices and relationships. Cameron's struggle with her deadly silencing ability becomes particularly poignant as she witnesses its horrific effects firsthand, the way it can painfully suffocate victims from within. Despite intense pressure from the Scarlet Guard to weaponize this power, she maintains her moral stance, refusing to become the monster she believes the Silvers expect her to be. Her resistance highlights the delicate balance between fighting oppression and maintaining humanity. Mare's trauma runs deep, manifesting in both visible and invisible scars. The Lightning Girl bears Maven's brand on her collarbone, a permanent reminder of her months of psychological torture and manipulation. Her nights are haunted by vivid nightmares where she relives her captivity, often waking in cold sweats, electricity crackling around her. These experiences have fundamentally altered her perception of trust and loyalty, making her both stronger and more cautious in her relationships. The weight of lives lost under her command adds another layer to her burden, particularly the deaths of young recruits who followed her into battle. Cal's internal conflict represents the clash between personal desire and inherited duty. His romance with Mare forces him to question generations of silver supremacy and his own privileged upbringing. When finally faced with choosing between the crown and love, his decision to pursue the throne reveals how deeply ingrained his sense of royal responsibility remains, even as it breaks both his and Mare's hearts. This choice ripples through the resistance, affecting morale and strategy. Farley's tragic background emerges as a powerful driving force behind her revolutionary spirit. The brutal drowning of her mother Clara and sister Madeline, victims of the Lakeland King's calculated cruelty, illustrates the personal cost of even passive resistance. Her father's transformation of their deaths into recruitment propaganda creates a complex moral tension. While their sacrifice inspired others to join the cause, Farley questions whether any cause is worth such devastating personal loss. Her pregnancy with Shade's child becomes a powerful symbol of renewal and hope, though tinged with the bittersweet knowledge that the child will never know its father. Evangeline Samos's character develops unexpected complexity as she confronts her own form of imprisonment within Silver Society. Despite her elevated status as Princess of the Rift, she remains a pawn in political machinations. Her secret relationship with Elaine Haven reveals her vulnerability and desperate desire for authentic connection in a world of arranged alliances. The prospect of another political marriage to Cal threatens not just her happiness, but her very identity, forcing her to confront the limitations of her apparent power. Julian's historical discoveries add crucial context to the conflict, revealing layers of complexity in the Silver-Red Divide. His research uncovers shocking casualty statistics from the Lakelander War, 50 million red lives lost compared to 500,000 silvers, highlighting the disposable way red lives are viewed. the ancient records suggesting a reversal of power dynamics, with reds once persecuting silvers, challenges both sides' understanding of their shared history and raises questions about whether true equality is possible or if power inevitably corrupts regardless of who holds it. In the emotionally charged epilogue, Mar walks away from Cal in the rain-slicked streets, devastated by his ultimate choice to prioritize the crown over their relationship. The silver earring he once gave her, a symbol of their connection, now burns like ice in her pocket, representing yet another broken promise and a long line of Kalor betrayals. Despite their shared battles and intimate moments, Mar finally accepts the harsh truth. Cal made his choice, and though he possesses inherent goodness, he remains bound by centuries of silver tradition and expectation. "The crown is in his heart, and hearts do not change," becomes her mantra of acceptance. In a narrow alley thick with shadows, Farley finds Mar and immediately addresses the elephant in the room. She had no prior knowledge of Cal's decision. This moment of solidarity between the two women highlights their deep trust, forged through countless battles and shared losses. Premier Davidson's subsequent revelation about knowing Cal's choice beforehand unveils the calculated nature of their alliance, divide and conquer. The strategic brilliance becomes clear as Mar realizes that Montford and the Scarlet Guard never truly intended to support a Silver King. Their plan always involved allowing the rival kingdoms to tear themselves apart in their desperate scramble for power. Mar's journey from a poor red thief to a prisoner, then to Marina the Silver Princess, and finally to a freedom fighter has stripped away all pretense, revealing her true identity. She is neither Marina nor simply the Lightning Girl. She is Mar Barrow, a red-blooded fighter who happens to possess extraordinary abilities. This self-discovery strengthens her resolve to continue fighting for equality, even as her heart aches from Cal's betrayal. The physical and emotional exhaustion of recent events weighs heavily on Mar as she tries to focus on the challenges ahead. Thunder rolls ominously in the distance, nature itself seeming to mirror the approaching conflict. The war for Norta's future continues unabated, with Maven maintaining his tyrannical grip on the throne, while new and unexpected alliances form and dissolve like storm clouds. Though Mar has broken free from her literal and metaphorical cages, the larger battle for Norta's soul and the freedom of all Reds has only begun to unfold. The Lightning Girl may have found her true self, but the price of revolution remains steep, and the path forward is illuminated only by the occasional flash of lightning in the gathering storm. As the dust settles on the Battle of Corvium, the future of the revolution hangs in precarious balance. The alliance between the Scarlet Guard, Montfort, and the Kingdom of the Rift represents unprecedented cooperation between Reds and Silvers, yet fractures already appear in their united front. Cal's decision to reclaim his throne, with Evangeline as his queen, threatens to undermine the very equality they've fought for. Premier Davidson's revelation about Montfort's true strategy suggests a more complex game at play. By supporting both Cal's claim to Norta and the Scarlet Guard's revolutionary aims, Montfort positions itself to benefit regardless of the outcome. The divide-and-conquer approach may ultimately lead to more bloodshed as Silver Kingdoms fight among themselves, weakening their ability to suppress the Red Rebellion. Maven remains a dangerous adversary, now with Lakelander forces at his disposal through his marriage to Iris. His understanding of both red and silver psychology makes him uniquely positioned to counter the revolution's messaging. By abolishing the measures, the restrictive laws that have oppressed reds for generations, he attempts to undercut support for the Scarlet Guard, offering crumbs to placate the masses while maintaining the fundamental power structure. The New Bloods represent a wild card in this political chess match. Neither fully red nor silver, they occupy a unique position with abilities that could tip the balance of power. Maven's efforts to recruit them for his army demonstrate their strategic importance, while the Scarlet Guard and Montfort work to integrate them into their forces. As thunder rolls in the distance at the story's conclusion, the metaphorical storm gathering on the horizon promises further conflict, sacrifice, and difficult choices for all involved. The revolution has begun, but its ultimate outcome and the shape of the society that will emerge from its ashes remains uncertain. What is clear is that Mar Barrow, the lightning girl who survived a king's cage, will be at the heart of the storm that's coming.